Hi, this is Fabi Fav.
And this is Babelito.
And we are Latinos Who Lunch,
the podcast where we talk about important things like
Guanabana.
I did not expect that.
Hello, hello, hello.
Kisho.
Well, here we are doing this through the internet. How are you doing?
Way.
What?
Hello, but at least I can see you, man, because before when we did the podcast from Albuquerque, I couldn't see you. So now we can, you know, do the cues and shit because it's almost like you're here, but you're not.
Yeah, we're doing this special edition of Latinos Who Lunch through Skype. So the quality might not be the same. I'm also in an empty museum. I'm at El Museo de las Americas in beautiful Denver, Colorado. So that's why you might hear an echo. But yeah, how are you, Babelito?
I'm good. The semester has started and I feel relaxed and I'm ready to party. I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm great now. I had to turn in a grant like an hour ago, so I've been stressing out about that. Thank you for helping me with that. And now I'm free and ready to party. Yeah. Just been enjoying Denver and the beautiful people here. You know, every time you touch your computer, I can hear everything. So just try to keep still.
Okay.
So, yeah. I mean, it's Denver's awesome. You know, all the friends I made when I was here doing that museum show. I got
Karina.
I hung out with Karina and I've hung out with Flo.
Flo and Mercedes.
Yeah, Mercedes will be here tomorrow, hopefully. And yeah. I'm building a lowrider here at this museum, so I'm really excited about that.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. I've done nothing but just prep for class. I went for a day to LA. I saw some amazing art, spent some day at the Getty. If you have time, there's some wonderful Caravaggios right now. Caravaggio is one of my favorite painters of all time. I guess I'm doing my recommendation earlier, but and I went to go see Los Angeles Negros in downtown. That was an amazing experience.
How were the Black Angels?
The Black Angels? they were amazing because it's like 70s música de ardillitas, like very sad. Ya no estás más a mi lado. It's so good.
Yeah.
So I had a good time.
Awesome.
Yeah. So now I'm back at it. But I can wait to see you again so we can record more episodes. And we have a lot of things coming up. So it's going to be an exciting couple months.
Have you eaten anything special while I've been gone without me?
No. I'm so stressed about school that I've been just eating at home. So today I ate a milanesa con papas.
Oh, shit.
Y frijoles de la olla. Ay, pobrecita. Ay. ¿Y usted?
Well, you know, I'm in Denver and there's a lot of food here. My favorite place right now is this little taco shop on the corner by the museum. And they have, se llama Tacos de México.
Shout out Tacos de México.
And it's not the best, I will say.
Never mind for the shout out.
No, but it is the best ambiente. So it's like a diner style almost. So you can sit there.
They have murals of like Pedro Infante inside.
Can I finish? So okay, they have this counter. So it's all yellow, like yellow seats and a yellow counter. You can sit there and then you can see them cooking your food, you know. But the best is everybody that works there is a señora. And so the chisme is so good. So I've been there.
I love it.
That's enough, man.
Fuck the food. It's all about the chisme.
I've been there twice already. And every time the chisme gets juicier. Today, they asked me for my input on the chisme because they saw that I was listening.
That's funny.
Yeah.
They're like, este pinche chismoso de tener buen consejo.
Yeah, but shout out to them and their chile relleno burritos. That's the best thing they have there.
Oh my God, El Tocayo took me to a food truck. Fuck, I forgot the name of it. But it was Southern food on a cone. Oh. I know, it's weird. It's not a white truck. It was black owned. And it had, it was a cone, like a waffle cone with sweet potato and fried chicken and honey.
In
it
a
was
cone awesome. And like an ice cream cone?
Sí, pero de waffle way. Está bien bueno, güey. Or maybe I was very...
You were high, bitch. You were eating high food. A waffle cone with meat in it? Okay, Chris, girl.
Shout out to you, Christy. You know what I'm talking about. She was sending me all these messages asking me where it was. So, anyway.
Yeah, so we have a interview today for everybody to listen to because, as you know from the last episode, we were in D.C. and we recorded an episode with the guys from Caught Up while we were there. And speaking of being high, I was extremely, and so
full disclosure,
and Babelito got mad at me because I was so high and he had to do the whole thing. So that's what you're going to hear in this interview.
It's me trying to come up with questions for these boys who were amazing. I love their take about everything that is happening right now. And they are in DC. They're so in sync with everything that is going on. So it was so great to actually hear them. But yeah, man, it was interesting. No, but I really enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun. And we were in one of my best friend's house. Shout out to Juan Samperio. But you'll hear more of that in the episode.
Okay, so we're going to take a little break and we're going to take you back to a couple weeks ago when we were in DC with Caught Up Podcast.
So you want me to give you a little bit of like tiddly tiddly type of thing?
Yeah, girl. What
go
you,
for it.
How many episodes have we done already? You don't know what to do?
Es que este perro se está chupando las patas y me distrae.
Ew!
Yeah, that's what perros do.
So you guys already know that Favi Fav and me, Babelito, we're always super busy. Favi Fav is traveling all over the place, and I'm here trying to teach the youth to stay woke, so who has time to go to the post office anymore? However, with Stamps.com, you can print real U.S. postage from any letter or any package right from your couch, from your home office, super sencillo, que les importa de la vida, and all available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, when it's more convenient for you. We even work out a special offer with Stamps.com for our listeners that includes a 4-week trial, listen very right, a 4-week trial plus postage and a digital scale. As yes, a digital scale without long-term commitments. All you have to do is super sencillo. Just go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in Latinos. That is Stamps.com, entered Latinos, and boom. You'll have the entire postal world available to your hands from your home. Es todo.
Babelito.
Qué pedo.
Your dreams are coming true, bitch.
Mi fantasía de estrella de rock and roll, que te importa de la vida, it's becoming a reality.
Tell the people what's happening.
You guys know that I love music festivals. Pues guess what, Mimi?
What?
We're actually going to be in one.
Okay.
We are part of the lineup of Emerge Impact Music, which is a festival presented by Noisy, which is music by Vice. And dude, the lineup, mira, lo leo el lineup y caigo en un abismo de pasión.
Okay, give me the details. When is this festival?
Okay, so I'll give you some of Christine's gonna be there.
Uh-huh.
Cupcake's gonna be
bitch.
There, dude. And then the Los Latinos, Hooray for the Riff Raff,
mm-hmm.
Cuco, Downtown Boys, oh my God, Lower Dance. It's just, and Latinos Who Lunch.
We're like, gonna be there?
Come on!
So how do I get tickets to this thing?
So we're going to put a little bit more information on the social media, but all you have to do is go to the Eventbrite website of Emerge LV. Again, is Emerge LV. And then all you have to do is type the discount code, which is Latinos Who Lunch, and you get 10% off, and you will have access to speakers. You will have access to our panel, which is the inaugurating panel on the first date, which takes place on April 6th. And the name of the panel is Owning Your Voice. So we're basically opening the whole festival. ¿Cómo te quedó el ojo, cabrón?
Oh my gosh, I am so excited about Emerge in Las Vegas. Google it, locas. And we're back.
¿Qué pedo?
Well, we're here with surprise, some guests.
Couple new voices.
You know what it is.
It's the deep end Puerto Rican.
Haitian sensation.
We're out here in D.C.
You know what it is.
Doing things that D.C.ers can do.
Words.
Dog, you just messed it up. Sorry.
Intros.
Sorry, we just stole it. We just hijacked
words,
this.
Words take, and intros.
Take it back.
No. This is good.
Oh,
this
we're just
good.
Embarrassing ourselves?
Yes. This is exactly
is
what we
do. Is
this
the content that y'all want?
This is exactly what we do. I don't know why you're so surprised.
I don't know.
All right, we're here with Caught Up Podcast.
Yeah!
And of course, I'm Favi Fav.
And I'm Babelito.
And we are Latinos Who Lunch.
Love you guys. Been listening for a while.
That's awesome. How are you guys doing?
Good, good. I feel like kind of in the middle of like a busy season, but we both kind of always are.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's a good thing.
Yeah,
it can't is. Complain about it.
Interesting. Interesting people do interesting things.
Exactly.
We can't just like be on the couch all day.
Like
saying.
Tooting your horn. Buddy? That's what I told myself when I canceled class today to come over here. So
that's a perfectly good reason. Yeah,
perfect. All right. So we are. Sorry, I'm really high right now. Shout out to weed.
Shout out to DC. Out here.
We're in Washington, DC. Babelito has never been here. And if you remember one of our old episodes with our dear friend
Juan Samperio, we are recording from his apartment. So shout out to Juan Samperio. He was one of the first like early mordidas that we did over a year ago. So he was gracious enough. We have pizza right here. We have chips. We have salsa Valentina, cerveza, the dream. It's amazing. Thank you, Juan.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, if we did this at our place, this wouldn't have been here. So.
No,
this
no,
is letting
even,
FYI.
No. There'd be plenty of weed, though.
It'd be some like...
you have like a bachelor pad, smells like socks and bong water.
It's a little it's bit, better than one that. Tier above it's that, okay?
Slightly better than that.
Yeah, we vape now.
Yeah,
yeah. We off that, bro.
Classy. Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about Caught Up, like... what is it about for those people that we're introducing you to a whole new audience, I feel.
Yeah.
Let's take it back to the beginning.
Okay.
Okay.
It's a very good place to start.
Yes.
I think Lonix and I, we just kind of found, him and I were having conversations that we couldn't have with like a lot of the rest of our sphere.
Mm-hmm. Essentially, he's going to say it intellectually. I'm just going to be straight up. It was very weird just being a bunch of minorities in conservative libertarian land.
There was you, me, and another friend, Zuri, that we had as a guest one time.
Yeah, and it was pretty much just us. And we all this crazy stuff with Trump was happening, and everybody was saying all this wild shit on television.
And they were like talking about silver. Well, here's the thing. We used to work both in a conservative sort of right-leaning network.
Yeah.
And because we kind of like esteem some of those principles, not the like weird, like extreme cultural ones because those are problematic.
Yeah, problematic.
But so when we started, especially around this last campaign cycle, I worked on Rand Paul's campaign. You were still based out of here.
Yeah.
And we just started picking up on like this poison that we had not really come across. And that was kind of dramatic poison, but like
the alt-right is poison.
Yeah, 100%. No facts. Yeah. But it was all the whole cycle. It was like everything just changed because in order for people to be engaged, it has to get more dramatic, more wild. And so you and I kind of started retreating to these conversations that we'd have with one another.
Yeah.
And then I remember one day
it was really,
after we got burned out on Battlefield 1, you were like, hey, Gabe,
what do we
I
do
think
now?
We
with
should
our
do a
lives.
Podcast. Yeah. I'm like, yo, because like we were like talking about Kanye West like every other weekend because that was when the meltdown was happening.
Yes.
I'm the biggest Kanye fan, so like worried about his mental health and stuff, right? So
it's important.
It is extremely important.
Because have you seen the pictures of Kanye with his laptop? He's walking around with the laptop. You know what that means.
Kanye Fit Watch.
That's right. Not where I was going with this. But and so anyways, moving along, is that we just decided, hey, let's record these conversations, mm-hmm. eventually polish them, which we have done in the past year.
Yes.
And, you know, we have some listeners after all of our friends stop listening to us.
Yeah. 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 After those friend numbers go and down, you're like, no, this no is my shade, audience.
But like, it's
that's
funny.
When you know it's getting good.
We started marketing to our immediate friend circle, yeah. but it really wasn't for them because,
yeah, again, it really wasn't.
This is why we kind of created it.
So what kind of conversations you guys have in the podcast?
Like one of the first topics we just wanted to hit because it's such a big thing now is the wave of critical race theory, yes. critical gender theory.
Yes.
And like identification within
communities. Intersectionality is exactly. going to become a lot more, a lot bigger of a conversation at some point, honestly.
And we couldn't just let those conversations slide when they came up like, in our friend sphere.
Yeah. Because unfortunately, either because they didn't have the experience, didn't care, or something, mm-hmm. It was really unfortunate that we couldn't have these conversations with those people.
And that's interesting because you always have to adapt those types of conversations because you can have it in the academic realm, you can yes. have it at work, yeah. you can have yeah. it with friends. And every time you have those conversations in different spaces, they're completely different.
Right.
So you have to completely adjust to be able to get your point mm-hmm. across.
Yes. And so we were just kind of like feeling like this whole, like I was saying before, silver lining about Trump being like, oh, like he might do some good and stuff like that. Like no. devil's advocacy. We were just
kind of like, he's no. probably going to fuck up. No. We were just kind of like, bro, he's probably going to fuck up.
And then
probably.
Like November 9th, we were both like, yeah, not surprised at all.
Yeah,
like,
bro, like did you see the Saturday Night Live with Dave Chappelle with him inside of
it was,
like
it
that
was him
apartment
with
all
with
of
Chris
his white
Rock.
Friends? Yeah.
And all the white friends were like, oh my God. America's racist. And like Chris Rock and Dave Chappelle just started dying.
We're just in the background. Yeah, like that was me. That was me at my one like watch party. It was just a bunch of my white friends, them just realizing everything that I've been trying to talk to them about for the past year.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm like, guys, this is like a serious problem. You're not realizing.
Because the devil's advocacy thing got
really... Hillary Clinton's gonna be president, and then we can hate on her. Clinton's gonna be president, and then we can hate on her. What?
and like there were two sides to it. It was people just like kind of giving up and be like, oh, of course, yeah, Hillary's gonna win on both sides of the aisle, and then on one side of the aisle, there was like the devil's advocacy about like, well, if Trump gets in, you know, blah, 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 this will happen. Mm-hmm. But I was in the middle of D.C. and I remember watching the TV and I remember seeing some of these states go blue. I'm like, okay, cool.
We're good.
I went to a concert that night.
Really?
Yeah. Where was the show? I went to see, is Car Seat Headrest?
Car Seat Headrest is a super emo band. I love
yeah,
them.
But
yeah,
but I got to the concert and it was like great, the first two songs. And I look at my phone and I just sat down. Like,
yeah. I took a long concert. Emotional walk back to my apartment because like I spent like almost a year of my life on the Cam Train Trail. So I was like decompressing.
Yeah.
And so I walk in the front door and the first thing I see is my TV and two of my roommates sitting there who are both also conservative, but they hate Donald Trump. And I saw Wisconsin red. I saw North Carolina.
Shit,
I saw
I remember
Pennsylvania.
That.
I was like, what? And I saw the little meter with more red than blue. And I was like,
oh no.
Yeah. But not to spend too much time on that. It was just like,
it was a lot.
The world turned on its head.
Yeah.
But speaking about podcasts.
I almost quoted Hamilton right there.
And that's something that that's something that happened
Wait, do you not like Hamilton? I'll fight all of this.
It's not that I don't like Hamilton. It's that it's not for me.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay. Not for you. Okay. Moving right along.
Not yet, anyway. No. I need to save up. So
I'm just saying that one of the things that happened with Latinx podcast is that the tone of the campaign really shifted this mindset, and all these Latinx podcasts started coming out at the same time. We all came together within the same 6 months. And it's because the tone set up by Trump. Yeah. And I think from the campaign all the way to the election, there was like a big shift and we all wanted to have
it's
our
imperative
voices heard.
That we did.
Yeah.
And it's very similar to the, if you don't want me saying, is the black community in the way that like with more coverage of like police brutality, like the black community, like that just jumped to another level. And of course, like that, the civil rights movement built a foundation, and that's like so huge. So we're like in a different place. So like, there's some things that are similar, some things are not.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like because we're starting out new, ours has a lot of like digital foundation, digital base.
Yeah.
And so, and it's really the humanization of people. Yeah. Right. Because when we, when that's we all talk we're about, asking for. When we talk about like immigration, a lot of people, even on like people that we would consider friends, mm-hmm. their stances on immigration seems to be so
not well thought out. Yeah, because that, they're just like, well, why don't they just come here legally? And have like, you looked at the process? It's like some for the, some people, their process is like 35 years to 120 years,
yeah. and thousands to become legal. Of dollars.
Yeah,
thousands of dollars to, for those applications. That. It's crazy.
it comes down to my major pet peeve, and I mentioned it before. It's like, if you don't know what you're talking about.
Shut the fuck up.
Listen.
That's it.
Most Americans can't even pass the test that we have to take to become citizens. Like, and I say
or
that,
to drive.
Or to drive, yeah. And I say that as an immigrant myself, and at some point I became a citizen. But, like, you know, it's just, like, people don't understand. They just have no idea.
I was, like, a total social studies nerd and civics nerd, so I would totally pass it several times over. So don't worry about me. But
so how do you adjust those conversations to the podcast? Because these are very, very heavy conversations. Mm-hmm. And to adapt them to the podcast, to your audience, you have to learn and know your audience. How do you do that? How do you do that?
Well, flaming politicians always helps.
When yeah.
You just like when you just start easy, the conversation,
we
by
just start with our favorite Jeff Beauregard sessions.
You know?
But I think like maybe somewhere earlier on, we were kind of being very open. We didn't know what to play close to the chest.
Yeah, we had no
But whatever. Idea. I mean, learn about us.
Yeah. yeah.
We are the content. We are the art.
Yeah. And speaking of, though, like that's one of the reasons why I love your podcast is because I was trying to get the news from a different perspective. Like once I found podcasts, found myself only listening to queer people and to women, right? Which is amazing. But then I feel like I was getting lost. I was in my own little like NPR, like liberal bubble.
Making your own podcast algorithm.
Yeah. And then when I found you guys, I said, wait, I think these gentlemen are heterosexual.
We had discussions. I'm like,
really?
I call them like, do you think they're gay? I don't know. I cannot tell.
I don't know. He said drag her. Yeah.
Gabe gets a little sassy, so I don't know.
I was like, they were saying, yeah.
But that's so good. Sure. That's good to get that.
Stop us if that's out of our place.
No.
Like dragons.
We have.
If necessary.
No. It's part of, it's internet culture. It's like internet vernacular.
Yeah. And I mean, I never want to like step on any toes of any community, but I feel like some of that has transcended into like where it's just like common vernacular.
Yeah.
So that's when I feel comfortable to use it.
No. And you guys aren't like homophobes on your show.
No.
It would be different. I could tell that you're using it as a celebratory exclamation.
Can you tell that like some conversations, and that's another thing about the question you're posing is like, how do you adopt these conversations? Like some things, because we both are straight men, like we kind of like slow down on conversations. Like we don't slam on the gas pedal, just like run through the combo. We're like,
yeah, we realize who we are. So we're just like, okay,
we're trying not to be stale.
Like, well, let me tell you, like, so I listen to a lot of podcasts like The Read, The Colores Radio.
Love The Read.
Yeah, and they're topical, right? Every week they come out. But you guys talk about stuff that nobody else talks about and makes it accessible, right? Like I said before, like cryptocurrencies, I don't know. I don't care, but whatever. You guys are funny, so I listen to your podcast, right? Or when you guys talk about sports sometimes, I don't know what you're saying, but I just laugh because you guys are laughing. You guys are just,
roasting each other. Even as we walk through the topic, sometimes I look at the list of like our notes and I'm like, man, I don't see a joke anywhere in here. But then we come around to it, and I'm like,
we're just making fun of it the entire time. Yeah.
Whole thing.
Boy?
So, like, I think something that we definitely want to aim for in the next year, on top of everything else that is expanding within a podcast.
Besides more content.
Right, is to have a way to get feedback via engagement.
Yeah.
So that way, when our listeners, you know, talk with us, the first thing they feel comfortable about talking about us with is how they feel like our podcast sounds.
Yeah.
Which is one of the, honestly, you guys kind of gave us a pretty good tip that we haven't followed until, like, recently. We're going to get a website.
It's going to be slick. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah. And, like,
I remember when.
Once we get
I listened to that clip and I'm like, you guys need to get a website. I'm like, shit.
Yeah.
It costs money, man.
No, but we're getting one built right now. And that might be a way for us to be able to potentially engage with people, hopefully.
Like, we're trying to make it so that it'll be like an open forum community of our listeners where they feel welcome to talk about the topics we bring up or the ones they want to talk about.
And you mostly do, both of you, right? You don't have a lot of guests in your show.
We're definitely working on that.
Yes.
Yeah, we're working. We don't have a lot of friends. No, I'm kidding.
but that's important because we sometimes have all of these people lined up, and then we get emails from listeners that, like, we don't want to hear other people. We just want to have you guys listen. Talking to each other. So we did this new, we're doing this new format where we have one interview and then one just both of us and one interview, because that's how we started our podcast.
Yeah.
We wanted to have to listen to our conversations out there in another podcast, and they were not there. So we're like, fuck it, let's just do our own thing.
That's the cool thing about podcasts, man, is that you just figure out what you want to do, and in the next month you could be like, it's this format.
And honestly, you mentioned something about how as soon as you jump into the world of podcasts, it seems as if you're getting all of these queer and female voices, which I think is exactly what should happen.
Right? Yes.
Because this is the first time that both of those groups have been able to have such a powerful platform.
Correct.
And have a platform that everyone, like, is engaging with.
And the pushback on those conversations coming up initially, I'm sorry, like, I literally said that as you were about to say something, like, the actual words. But, like, is that there is so much pushback about those communities having a platform in general. So the best way to do that is go guerrilla.
Exactly.
Like, you don't have to listen to us, but we're going to have a platform, and all the people that care about this thing can listen. And I feel like, in a way, that's fighting a battle in this war and winning it in this war, in like this conversational war, without being belligerent and like going at the people who have pushback.
Yeah.
So that maybe one day, when the conversation is more, I guess, intertwined with like all of society, that way it's more permeable to your ears and to your souls. Because sometimes just spitting this stuff out to people, like, it scares them, or like, I don't know what I'm getting at.
So with that said, have you guys got any pushback from listeners or like some negative feedback about your voices?
I've had a couple people that I wouldn't really consider friends. I would more say that they're
haters.
Colleagues, I guess. People that I used to work with, a lot of them were very helpful. They were just like, hey, I have no problem with what you're saying. I just think that some of the formatting needs to be fixed. And I was like, okay, cool. Like, some people were helping, like, very helpful. But there are a couple that were very negative about it. And the reason why they were negative was because they thought that what we were saying was simply alarmist. Mm. And yet, I don't, once again, I toot our horn a lot, but if you go back and listen to episodes, like previous episodes when we were just like bullshitting, like just randomly saying things about politics, and then it happens literally 3 weeks like in the future. Mm-hmm. And it's not because we have like this unbelievably fantastic mind.
Third eye,
like, we don't, it's not about that. It's literally just the fact that we can see it all happening. We know
as students of history,
and we know who these people are. Like, we've worked for a lot of these people, we've interacted with a lot of them. We know their characters, so we just see what they're thinking about.
We're like,
doing,
wow, you're an opportunist. Like, yeah. So we know you're gonna like fail your way up.
Yes,
and then some bullshit's gonna happen, and then you're gonna pull some strings over here.
Yeah,
and then you're gonna get out of it. And then there's going to be someone who takes the fall. Oh, I could go on and on. Yeah. Sorry.
But see, it's in those keywords, right? Alarmist.
Yeah.
And that you realize what they're saying. You have to decode those words and realize that they're saying.
And
they're,
we're not,
they're basically
to
telling
be
you,
like,
you guys are way too smart and dangerous. Ooh. And we cannot fucking listen to you guys.
I like
this is one of the things I like about your podcast. Like, you guys are hella fucking smart. And I'm getting my news and I'm getting the content from people that really know what they're talking about. And that's important because you don't get that. I mean, not to throw shade, there's a lot of amazing podcasts out there, but I don't get that quota from every podcast. So it's refreshing to hear that it's bullshitting, that it's pop culture, but you know, you guys know your history. And to me, one of the most important things is to contextualize shit.
Exactly.
If you don't contextualize shit, just another conversation in another
it's
fucking Starbucks.
It's just another unsubstantiated opinion.
Exactly.
And honestly, this is one of the things that we found extremely difficult for a very long time is because the year before, 2 years before the election, right, we were both within our own organizations, and we were having these conversations with some of our friends, and we were just like, hey, you know, black people are getting shot left and right.
I remember working at a nonprofit, not to interrupt you, but I would literally sit there, and there'd be some other employees or coworkers that would just be saying, like, well, I mean, look at them, the way they're acting, like animals, like, they deserve to get shot.
Terrible, like terrible, like, terrible things. I'll just be like, hey, I'll try to have conversations with these kids who have been raised in, like, super religious families, never really left the farm that much, went into D.C., had their mind blown, and then suddenly I'm over here being all like, hey, B2Dubs, the entire system that you've been, like, living off of has, like, literally tried to destroy me as a person.
Yeah.
So I'm not asking you to do much. I'm literally just asking you to acknowledge the fact that this shit is fucked up. And they're still kind of like, well, what? Let's ask what's wrong about black culture. And I'm like, nigga, what?
It's like, if you want the cops to stop shooting you, maybe stop shooting at each other. Shut up.
Fuck. It's like, they'll just like, oh, what about those gangsters? And it's like, oh, so you're asking me to go talk to dangerous people rather than you talking to people that you employ via taxes.
Exactly.
And is built off of the institution of protecting the people. You want me to go to gang members?
A lot of those simple questions.
What?
They're using those simple questions to kind of answer their own preconceived notions about these communities that are marginalized. And when they ask these simple questions, they're not really digging into the meat of it. And so I think what we're trying to do is trying to make those two things connect. Like, we see that people have simple questions, and not all the time they come with, like, malice. Yeah. Like, sometimes people just are ignorant. Maybe they do want to learn.
Super ignorant.
And the first thing that sometimes...
you just got to shove that anger
no matter
down,
who they are. To.
Because sometimes when they ask you some just wild, flagrant shit, you just got to have to be like, okay.
That's why I have bags under my eyes, because I lose sleep at night trying to explain
it. Mm-hmm. That's why I have a tumor. So... Anyway, can we get into individually what you guys do a little bit? Yeah. Just so, all right.
I'm not doing anything.
Deep
right
end
now.
Puerto Rican.
I left where I was at because there were a few things here and there that I just did not vibe with the culture.
Sure, sure.
There's a little bit of too much.
We got you.
Lapdogging with you know who. But I am kind of working on some side projects right now. There's something I've been really passionate about for, like, the last, 3 years now. I was trying to build a musical network for serious, dedicated musicians where we have a community that we build from the inside so that we don't have to, like, kind of indenture ourselves to labels and managers that are kind of greedy and stuff like that. And that's a big hot take because, like, that's something that's never really been tackled because it's a tough industry to do it in. But before I jumped into politics, I was kind of a tiny little minnow in the music industry. I was producing, I was recording, doing session stuff with people because when I was like halfway through college working, doing political science as a major, music hit me hard. And I was like, wow, all I want to do is music.
Just, yeah.
And so I find myself here in DC, in this city that's known for something that I see something else beautiful in. And so I'm trying to, like, merge those two realities to find my niche and what I want to do and my passion. So
listening to you talk about DC almost has me convinced about this place.
Dude, I'm telling you, because on the way here...
It's amazing, but terrible.
Man, every block we walk through, he said, I hate this city at least, like, four times. Yeah. No, it's okay. It's okay.
But, I mean, I've only seen the mile radius.
I try to tell people,
white
supremacist
fucking architecture.
Ooh, okay, so I had a friend that came over here to the D.C. area.
Oh, my God.
And she needed a little bit of an uplift, so I helped her out.
You got a friend?
And so... she was just kind of like, Lonix, as soon as I came into DC, I got instantly depressed. We're from South Florida, right?
I'm from South Georgia.
Yeah, he's from South Florida. Like, but me and this friend is from South Florida. It's a very different culture there. Like, even when you go to, like, places of power, there's different people all over the place, right?
Yeah.
You go to places in Miami, like, anywhere from, like, poor as hell to rich as hell, you're gonna hear somebody speak Spanish somewhere. Like, yeah, always, that's true. Constantly. That's true. It's just, but you're always gonna have black people all over the place, and it seems like this different world almost. And then she came over here to DC, and she was just like, Lonix, the only thing that I saw were white people in suits and black people in blue collared outfits.
Yes, we just talked about this. And I was just kind of like,
this is interesting. Yo, okay, so this is an interesting perspective that I did not.
This place that I worked at, and I have to say this anecdote, is that when I was there, this was the same place that I heard that thing about that what that guy said earlier about people acting like animals.
Mm-hmm.
Because we, like, the TV would always be on. We were, this kind of might be giving it away, but there was a ping pong table at that organization, because that's what startup culture is.
That's like that you named like half of DC.
Okay, fine. Yeah, but half of startup. DC. I remember, you know, we would get into it. I got pretty good at ping pong, not gonna lie. But there would be guys, they would get into it and they would like chip the ceiling from hitting the ball so hard.
Bruh.
And like the fuck ever is in the ceiling, it Plaster. Fell down and oh, it got on the floor and stuff like that. And I immediately, because I had proper home training, I went to get a broom and a dustpan to get it up. And the guy next to me said,
dude, no.
This is...
No,
this,
no,
no.
No.
Right?
He said, no. That's what the janitors get paid for.
Hijo de su reputa madre.
I probably said it nice. That was a few years ago. Like, he said it in a way that just like hurt my soul. I was like... No, that was a little racist, buddy.
You treat people like people, bro. You can't just start making messes out of nowhere. What is wrong with you?
It wasn't directly like racist, but it felt so jingoist.
No, that's directly racist.
Because I remember I would talk to some of the custodial staff in that building, and I would always try to be nice to them because they were nice people. And I just remember I looked at him in the eye and I just like swept it up and I was like, okay.
Shit.
And he did, and there was like some tension in that ping pong room. I was like, keep playing, like whatever. Like, I mean, I am Puerto Rican, so I mean, I might as well clean it up, right? But yeah, no, it's things like that. It's not always like overt. Like, not every person has some wild like rant. It'll be like little things here and there, and I'm like, oh.
Like the last time I came to DC. You know, I went to a rap battle somewhere over here, DuPont Circle,
okay,
near that area.
Yeah. Wait, rap battles in DuPont?
This was like 10 years ago. That's the last time I was here.
I was like, okay, so I was just like, no. My current knowledge of DuPont Circle is that it's very gay. And so you'll have a lot of really fancy gay men walking down the street, and you're like,
why
they
gay
are,
men?
Oh, listen. Listen. I know. All right.
When you say fancy and gay, I was like, okay, I know what he's talking about.
Some of that rich.
Okay. So you were saying about the rap battle, the pond.
Okay. Anyway, we show up to this thing, and I went with my white friend, mm-hmm. who I knew I shouldn't have trusted from the jump. So we went up there, and I'm like, oh my gosh, we're the only like not black people here. Maybe this is their space. Maybe we should leave, kind of thing. You know, I'm trying to be respectful.
Maybe.
No, this is fun. Okay. Oh. But anyway, as soon as I went up to the bar, one of the bartenders confused me for one of the barbacks and threw a towel at me and then pointed at a spill.
No.
And see, that was DC 10 years ago.
And I said, okay, cool.
Like everywhere
what
in DC.
What did they do?
I just started cleaning. That bar looks spotless.
You and me, we're different. We're different. I would have started throwing hands, man. I love cleaning. It's cathartic. Oh my god! Because I actually moved here, so.
Oh my god!
Yo, smack boy.
Sorry. I'm dead.
Okay.
No, right. It's.
Are you done talking about your life? Because we kind of got into like
a mini rant. Yeah.
No,
okay.
You should finish talking about yourself. If you're not done.
Oh wait, what was I even talking
Did
about?
Did you have a closing statement about cleaning?
About like the music, everything that.
Oh yeah, because I asked
that you almost convinced me about
this
liking
blueberry
DC.
Kush
yeah. Oh, is yeah. I feel like I've found my own niche in DC, and a lot of that is like music venues and just meeting people who are outside of our network who do other cool things that aren't related to politics here.
Yes. Yeah.
And
yeah.
that's where I found, like,
I need to see that side of DC.
And okay.
I mean, there's not enough time.
Go north of the National Mall. Go past Midtown, man. You go up.
Okay.
Logan Circle, DuPont Circle, U Street, Adams yeah. Morgan, Petworth, all yeah. that stuff up Georgia Avenue. That's the fun DC.
So we need to come back.
Oh yeah, for sure. And schedule it over like a week that has like a show that you want to go to, because that's my favorite thing, is like taking people to venues.
Yeah.
That's my thing. It's to the point where like most people in my social circle are like, Gabe, you're always at a concert. And I'm like, yeah, like
that's your thing.
You go home and like watch TV every night. Like what? That's your thing. You're a loser.
But anyways, yeah, I feel attacked.
I feel very attacked right now.
I just saw The Killers last week. So.
Oh really? You like The Killers?
I love The Killers.
Awesome.
I like
you
a
should
lot.
Come to Vegas.
Because they're from Vegas. Yeah. Didn't they play that hometown show back in like January?
Yeah, in Sam's Town.
That was so beautiful.
Brandon Flowers goes to the coffee shop that we go
to. Dude, Brandon Flowers is like the man.
Mm-hmm.
That's a little Easter egg because they have a song called The Man.
Didn't
even mean to do that, but it just came out that way. But
okay, so Haitian sensation.
Yes, Haitian sensation.
What do you do? Who is your daddy and what does he do?
What did he do? I work in tech. That's what I currently do. I do... like I'm the guy who's fixing your computer. That's my current gig. Previously, I worked at an organization in where I was a part-time nanny/teacher to a bunch of rich kids, teaching them about like STEM.
That
stuff, like
wasn't the description.
Wow.
And then the other half of my job was testing out flight simulators.
What?
It was a very interesting
I wish you had gone first,
because
you have a That's better awesome. Way of introducing yourself.
Yeah.
I'm just like, I like music.
Yeah, music's nice.
But you guys talk about being students of history.
Yes.
Both of you went to, you did history.
No, I did political science.
I did political science and history.
But okay. I did political science with kind of a focus on either dictatorships or Eastern European countries after the fall of the USSR and like African nations. So I really focused on power structures and how power structures happen after like large collapses
struggle,
and stuff
brother.
Like that. The struggle, my man. Now, if you understand that the white man is always trying to
open up that third app, brother.
No. Yeah. So like I'm just the type of person who who's interested in everything. Before that, or like during college, a friend of mine, we worked on this thing where we're creating applications for iPhones.
Yeah.
And we actually made money. One of the applications got to the top 100 category of entertainment.
Nice.
For like a month and a half.
Wow.
Yeah. Like it was nuts.
That's badass.
Yeah. So I've just been like kind of doing everything in my life.
Yeah.
I'm kind of like a master of none. Because I'm good at a lot of stuff. Not great at one thing. Not enough
you
for them to pay me enough.
You guys are great at podcasting, so maybe that's a niche.
Yeah. For sure. But I kind of did the same thing in college. I focused a lot on foreign affairs, but then I had huge interest in history. So a lot of World War II, a lot of Cold War stuff.
Yeah.
It's kind of my niche.
So. See, and that shows in the podcast. Like,
yeah.
We that's, need more of those
that's
voices.
Where we get like pile high and deep, where we just start going off about that stuff. And sci-fi.
What you don't understand is that the fall of...
Ridiculous. Yeah. It's been really interesting. Actually, just to... know that people are listening to you. Has that changed like the way that you thought of anything? Like listening to yourself on the podcast kind of work through your
ideas?
No,
the money hasn't changed us.
Okay.
No.
The pennies haven't changed
us. You haven't taken a trip to South Africa yet, huh?
No.
Okay.
No.
Not
trust me, that
yet.
Is that is gonna happen.
It's in the itinerary 5 years down the road.
That's gonna happen.
But I think like even today when you guys were kind of mentioning about how like, oh my gosh, these are two straight guys that don't sound completely stale. Like, I took that to heart. Like,
yeah,
but
because
at the same time,
there's a lot of straight whack dudes
I want
right
to hit the
now
ground running.
Platform, oh and you're like, God. You're whack. How is it that you're.
Yeah.
How is it that you're. What?
I want to be the pavement with, like, just a very not, I guess, like stale. I keep saying stale, but not stale way of approaching these discussions so that anyone who's listening can feel like it's accessible to them and not feel put off, because that happens a lot. So,
yeah. Yeah.
And for me, it's very important that you guys are here in DC, because when I hear those stories from you, And then I hear that the conversations that you had with people here in DC, that DC, like that's important.
And because you can be anywhere in the world and just check Twitter all the time. But I feel like we kind of absorb.
But it's just bit. It's because podcasts are dominated by the center, LA and New York. Yeah. So when you take away from that and you have podcasts from other parts of the world and you go into your niche, you know your city, you know what people, the conversations that people are having here, and you transfer that to the podcast, that's good. That's what I want to hear. I don't want to hear the same shit that other podcasts in LA or New York
and are there doing. Are so many podcasts of just two dudes talking. So I feel like, not to give a full exposition on our brand, but we're two guys of Caribbean descent,
yes,
who grew up in the South, who both don't completely identify with a lot of the, I guess, like characteristics or narratives or characterizations and narratives that came out of that place. We're both here trying to be professionals, figuring things out, but then we both have a bunch of interests outside of this realm.
And educated. Like, that's fucking important, too.
Keep saying that. Like,
I don't know that.
Making me blush.
to me, that's very important.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I wish you guys could have heard that joke. But no.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my goodness.
But can we hit a few topics? Like, I feel like between the four of us, we could hit a lot. You want to go into what you're talking about? I feel like they kind of mix Puerto Rico and Haiti.
Yes. So this kind of gets into the blatant disregard, maybe dehumanization of, like, certain people outside of...
Whatever could you mean?
Whatever, right? So this is not the first time that Trump has said something about Haiti, right? The first time that he said something about Haiti was that he was saying that Haitians all have AIDS, right? And that was like, whoa, that's some wild shit, bro. Right? That's some wild shit. And then he, when he was speaking about immigration, and once again, this is I want this to be very clear. He was talking about people. He wasn't talking about governments. He wasn't talking about economic policies. He wasn't talking about imports versus exports. He was talking about immigration, right? And he called Haiti and other African countries shithole countries, right? So, and you've been hearing this a lot on the news, like shithole.
And
just
remember at the beginning of the week, there was like the nuclear war scare.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, just think about like what happens in the course of the week because this man can't shut up.
He can't.
But anyways.
It's an issue. This is not something that is new, honestly. He has consistently disregarded people outside of the United States as part of his American first mentality, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, every person who has been paying attention seems to believe that this man is racist. There are others, though, who do not believe that Trump is racist.
I don't get that. You don't remember this post because I brought it up, but there was when Trump said about April Ryan, remember last February? When April Ryan was saying something to Trump in a press conference, and he was like, why don't you tell that to the Congressional Black Caucus? They're your friends, aren't they? And obviously that wasn't like directly racist, but he meant it as in like, they're black, you're black, don't you talk to them on a regular basis?
Motherfucker.
And I posted that, and it was also from Sean King's page, and Sean King triggers... Yeah.
A lot of conservatives. Because Sean, to be fair, he says some wild shit.
He can be
sometimes sensationalist.
Sometimes I'm just like, bro, what are you doing? But like,
out here.
I had this, like, and when I say big, I mean little, but like a kind of a big name in the conservative libertarian movement. This guy named Tom Woods. He's a total jackass.
Yeah.
I feel very comfortable saying it. He literally posted, he commented on my post, being like, a post from like from Sean King, immediately unfollow. I was like, cool.
I don't need you.
Yeah, but like, then there were just a bunch of comments of people who never talked to me in real life. And this is another thing that I feel has been really weird about this past cycle and what we have happening now.
Yeah.
Is people just like, who never talked to you, they just feel so welcome.
They just get on your page.
To just like argue with you. And I'm like,
no, like, what?
Bro, we don't, like, when Lonix and I like argue, like, we still get heated, and I'm like, this man knows me, like, you know.
Yeah.
So,
and you don't even know me, bro. You don't even know me.
But it was, sorry to go so long with this. Is that people were just like pretending to be dumb and very literalist.
Yeah.
They were like, how is this racist? And we were both like, us and a couple friends. We have a group chat, and we were just like, because we have intuition. Yeah. Like, have you ever?
Because
not,
we've seen it before. We can sniff it out.
Have you ever not, like, looked at something, thought critically, and been like, "This is what this actually means"? Have you never done that before in your life? And I feel like the bottom line of that is, when it comes down to it, if you don't think this is racist, that means you do recognize that word to a certain extent. So at which point are you going to start using your words? At which point would you start acting in a manner that puts this behavior off?
And what does he have to say for people to finally say, fuck?
I don't know, man.
I mean, literally, this guy talked about grabbing pussies. Like, he's literally talked about a sexually assaulting
this
women.
This is a family podcast?
While calling us rapists.
While calling Mexicans rapists.
And drug dealers.
He literally... Well. Just admitted the fact that he sexually assaults people. It just doesn't make any sense. Yeah.
And it's everything he does is so egregious, and what it comes up against is, because we keep hearing on a week to week basis, like, oh, he's gonna pass his like tax reform stuff and like that, and we're just like, I don't care if he cured cancer at this point, dude. Like,
it doesn't matter.
It doesn't.
Like, this man's disrespected.
Like, if
everyone.
You don't think that someone being so blatantly racist, even like not blatantly racist, disqualifies them from being
or sexist
able to
or anything
stand in this position of power in an unbiased manner, if you don't think that disqualifies them, I don't know if we can jive. Like,
remember what was her name from ESPN that said that Trump was a racist on Twitter, and then they almost fired
her.
They
suspend her, okay,
for telling the truth.
And
for
then that conversation
the
came back up. Facts. Because Katie Nolan, who's a really great sports writer, she's white, nothing on that or her, is that she went on Desus and Mero, which is like, hey, shout out to Bodega Boys Gang Gang. fuck Wiz Khalifa. I could go on with those intros, but is that she literally was like, oh, Trump's a fuckwad or something like that on the show, and she didn't get suspended.
No.
And I remember because I watched that episode live, and I was like, I didn't think anything of it, but then I was like, wait, she's on ESPN. Jemele Hill got suspended, and then nothing happened to her in the next week.
Yeah.
And that became a conversation because one was black, one was white, and one got suspended and one didn't. And that's not to say that Katie Nolan should have gotten suspended because she
told the truth.
Yes, exactly.
The guy is a fuckwad.
But the inconsistency, like, because time is like this like very linear path, we saw the wrong happening first, and we saw the right thing happening, and it just so happened to be that one came from this marginalized group and one didn't. And so when it comes to those things, it's weird because that's not to say that Katie Nolan supports Donald Trump or anything. It's just that she benefited from that privilege. So I feel like, just to round it out back to the conversation we were having before, is when will people, I'm just going to make it very general, people who have privilege, when are they going to step up? What is going to take for them to say, which is what you were saying, to say, hey, this guy's ridiculous. He belongs nowhere near.
And honestly, we can go into your point where, like, think about it this way. Houston, look at the way that he's treated Houston. Look at the way that he's treated Puerto Rico. Both American citizens, both hit by huge hurricanes that were unprecedented.
Mm-hmm.
While right now, Houston is perfectly fine, while millions of people in Puerto Rico still
1.5 million without power, hundreds of thousands without clean water.
How obvious does this need to be?
There's unreported deaths up to, like, past 1,000. If that doesn't strike you as a humanitarian disaster, I'm sorry, you are oblivious. You're not paying attention. And like, I am fortunate that my family is like, they all have like at least some sort of like socioeconomic elevation where they were able to have a generator or something like that, so they can have power for their medical supplies and things like that.
Look, I have no faith whatsoever. Bush destroyed New Orleans, and we're talking about where to show his paintings after all these fucking years.
That's a whole nother episode. Is the way that the media is just like about him and Mitt Romney, sorry not to cut you off, but the way that like MSNBC and CNN is just like drooling over any time of like a, what we would consider like a neoconservative Republican in the past 8 years, they're looked at as moderates now. And
I mean,
the way the media just drools over them. Oh, yeah, in comparison.
Yeah.
The way the media just rules over them. Oh, yeah. Oh, this so-and-so is so brave. And I'm not really trying to, like, go at them because, like, some of them are saying the right thing.
Yeah.
But it's the way they're just drooling over them when, like, 8 years ago, these guys were, like, the guys that were flaming.
Yes.
And I'm like, y'all are fake. You're chameleons, and you're not really defending any truth.
Yeah, but have you seen his painting?
Mekaso or not, this guy, fuck it.
Yeah.
Shit. I said all that beautiful thing and you come in with the... But have you seen his paintings of dogs?
Been there. Oh my gosh.
I think...
Go ahead. I think that's one of the reasons that we can't talk about what's happening on the news on our podcast, because we would just get mad and not do it.
Frustrated.
Yeah.
I mean, you heard some of those early episodes. I would like finish a rant and just be like...
Yeah.
We always do that. We get into if we get into it, we just get upset. I need to gain it back.
Found
I have
ways
no patience.
That.
Well, teach me, please.
We taught you. We passed it around.
You skipped it.
Now's your chance. There's ways around
it. It's also that, like, in no shade, but like there was sometimes butting of heads. Even if we like agreed on something,
yes,
we both wanted to get our points in, and we've found like a sort of like a business chemistry wherein sometimes, like, quite literally, we're like finishing each other's sentences.
Yeah.
And like that's just something that happens when you're like sitting around a person talking about the same thing for so long. And I feel like that lends to like the accessibility to listeners, because before it might have felt a little volatile. People were like listening, like, what are these guys saying?
How long have you guys known each other?
I think we knew each other like 6 months before we started the podcast.
Oh, shit.
We kind of met a couple times.
Yeah,
but
it wasn't like, I don't really count us like knowing each other until maybe six months before.
It was funny because we were like, I was in my circle and you were in your circle.
Yes.
And we like kind of met up and I was like, another person of color. And then I had to immediately be like, I'm also a person of color. You can't tell because I look like Daddy Yankee, but like... I think there was just some point, and then there was like that party that we went to.
Yes.
And then we were like, hey, let's hang out in Chipotle and play Battlefield.
And then that's what started the podcast.
Yeah,
Chipotle and Battlefield.
See, us were tacos and fucking mochas. Like, really.
Too bad in Arlington we don't have any good taco places.
Yeah, honestly, I was just about to say how Chipotle is trash in comparison to like any really good taco places.
If you want anything
to Vegas
authentically Latin cuisine, you have to go north of U Street. Yes. Anything south of U Street sucks. Yeah, that's right. El Centro, fake. Also, their staff. Yo. Their staff is racist too.
Yo, No. But still, shout out to El Centro's basement. If you ever want to like listen to like,
are you about
Latin
to some
music
nasty?
And just like get real nasty with somebody? El Centro.
Okay, yeah, El Centro can be lit at night.
That's where we're going after
there was
this.
There was something that happened maybe like a month ago where like there was some white guys and they were wearing tennis shoes and it was like at night and they weren't getting let in. But then I'm like, white guys with tennis shoes. Some bars in DC they have like this really stupid dress code. Like, bro, everybody rocks like kicks around here. Like, you can rock a suit with kicks. Like, don't make a big deal out of
it. Anyway, I heard there's a lot of Central Americans living in this area, right?
Not in this area. You have to go like up like New Hampshire Avenue and like,
well, like the DMV area.
Langley Park. Yeah. Like,
like Northern Virginia as
well. Northern Virginia.
Like El Salvador.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, it's not to like make it super negative, but this is like the American beachhead for MS-13. Like, the first MS-13 murder happened in, I think it was it somewhere in Northern Virginia? It was, like, in Fairfax County. Mm. And that's grown a lot, and it's you've kind of seen it pop up in the way that a lot of these politicians, like, push campaign narratives. Like, what's his name? I almost worked for him, and then he started saying this shit. Was it, my gosh, I can't even remember. I'll probably remember it later. But he was running back in 2014. Whatever. Anyways,
I'm not inside of your mind.
Yeah,
and we'll edit this out.
Is that he kept like going on and on about like, oh, it's too many immigrants, and the weird thing that it hit me because it was in 2014.
Yeah,
and I was already kind of like pissed and like forming like a more concrete like radical like platform on a lot of things because we as Latinos were having to be reactionary, but it was the way that he, as a huge part of the platform, he was like, this little issue here, this little issue here, this little issue here. Immigration. Mm. And this is in Northern Virginia. And he was pushing this, and I was just like, I can't work for that guy. I eventually went to work in Louisiana. I feel like, let me get to it, is that those communities deserve so much more credence because they bring culture to the area.
Yeah.
But all you ever hear is like that it's related to gangs.
Yeah.
It's an old trope.
Oh yeah.
That is just it doesn't I don't know, like I don't think we it's all gonna have go to away.
Gather together and hate on somebody, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah. Well, so. With that said,
it could be the Russians. Let's hate on the Russians.
That would be so easy.
I almost forgot about Russia for a week. Why do you have to do that?
Play any Call of Duty game. They're the de facto enemy for a reason.
Dog, Modern Warfare, the initial one, that campaign, so lit.
So what do
we have no idea what you're talking about.
What do we do as podcasters with all this hate speech, with all this rhetoric that is attacking directly our communities, that is directly attacking our listeners? What do we do with that? Do we complain about it? Do we just get mad about it? Do we contextualize it? What do we do with it?
Do we because be quiet and rise above?
Because it's not.
What are you talking about? What is it? Listen, I love Michelle and I want to go high, and we are, but like
it's hard to go high when you're so low.
Exactly. Like it sounds like a cop out, but I think it's a little bit of everything. You have to use the anger to kind of fuel why you're going to act, but then you have to figure out that acting out impulsively and to in a more extreme sense, like violently, because like that's man, I sometimes sit and watch a TV and like I can tell that these guys are playing into fear. And what does that make me feel like I want to do? It makes me retreat back to my community, which is a good thing. Like, I feel like I've gotten so much more in touch with my culture. I've spoken so much with my family and my cousins. But yeah. Because I'm trying to know more about what's happening in Puerto Rico. But there becomes a line where you cross, where you become what you don't want to be, what's creating the fear. And I think it's using everything at your disposal that you see. And then looking at that line in the sand and being like, I'm not going to cross that. But everything else here, these are my tools.
Yeah, so never become your own oppressor.
No.
Like, that's, and you can't.
I do it every day. These Cheetos are good.
But, like, I think that that's the big thing. Just never let yourself become what you hate, because you can't step back from that. Right?
That's such a good advice, because we do it all the time.
Yeah.
And we always are very critical in the podcast about that, about how sometimes we concentrate on such little things within our community that we end up boxing each other and we end up being our own oppressor. In the meantime, the main dude is just watching us and just laughing all the way to the fucking bank.
And which it feeds into that. I'm sorry, go ahead.
There's this amazing YouTube channel called The Grapevine. I love watching their like discussions. It's like a bunch of people inside of a room. It's led by mostly women, honestly. Mm-hmm. And they had this very interesting discussion about like men are trash, like that concept, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And which, you know, whatever.
We are.
Like, yeah, like, I admit it.
Yeah.
While they're having this conversation, it kind of led to this thing in where they're just like, where a lot of the black women were saying that unfortunately black men in their rush to gain power mm-hmm. tend to not only utilize black women as the vehicle to get that power, and so they like trample all over them, but they will at the same time end up using the same tools that those same black men complain about white men using on them.
The master tools will never dismantle the master's house.
Exactly.
Ooh. Yes.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. Now we're getting deep
it's here. It's one of the oldest quotes in the book, but it always fucking applies to everything.
100%.
And we can never forget about it.
Really quick before we get off that and move on, is that like that's what I was trying to get at when I was talking about the Latin communities here. They're based in Central America. Is that they were sort of pushed because you had Reagan was basically supplying the Contras via Oliver North and cartels, is that they were selling weapons to the Iranians and taking that, buying drugs from the Contras to give them money in El Salvador. And then all the people who are trying to escape that civil war, guess where they went? To the United States, because best country in the world, right? Mm-hmm. Where else are you going to go? And now, retroactively, because people have small spans about how much history they remember or what they learned, is that, like, where did these people come from? They need to get out of here. And what I was getting
at. Shout out to the second part of that, and where they then sent all those drugs to the black communities as a way to destroy them.
To break them apart.
Right?
Yeah. To split the back Black Panthers into the Bloods and the Crips.
And then they renamed things. And yeah, it was good.
COINTELPRO. Anyways. You're listening.
If you see my brother.
Listen, I really like when you go into that. We should do a whole episode just like that. Like super woke for no reason. But
I don't know if half of the people who listen will get it. They're
I don't care.
What's happening?
That's a new brand, baby.
The four of us over here will get it. That's how that's how it matters.
So finishing up is that it makes those communities, those Latin communities, those marginalized communities, it makes them cross that line where they're going past those tools of being compassionate, thinking through things, using contextualized like issues and information, and they're crossing that line and they're getting angry. They're going online, they're saying mean things. That's really not their fault.
Yeah.
And it's like the biggest, I mean, the oldest tool in the herramienta, I don't know how to say it in English.
In the toolbox?
Yes.
Like what
like, because for example, I think about what I wrote in my dissertation, where the Spanish spent 300 years making monsters out of Native Americans, and then they spent the same 300 years making everybody fear Native Americans from the monsters that they actually created. So they're like, they basically said, you guys are monsters, and now I'm going to tell you why we're going to be afraid of these monsters. That's all the colonial period.
Yeah.
So when you see what's happening right now, it's nothing fucking new.
Literally, the first movie that was ever created was made by the KKK. Birth of a Nation.
Birth of a Nation.
Oh, and where it made black men seem as if they're running around raping white women.
And so white supremacy as a mechanism was necessary to protect white women.
Essentially. Like the KKK used it as a way to be able to legitimize themselves and legitimize everything that they were doing. It's some bullshit.
So there's very fine people on both sides.
Both sides.
I wouldn't say that. I'll say the same things are fueling both sides. And there's one side currently, because they feel a little bit more welcome to be open about how they feel.
Mm-hmm.
They're, I mean, we're in a place of American history where we haven't seen that in a long time, that openness. But what I'm worried about is, like I was saying earlier, is that when there's like harsh rhetoric toward these communities, a lot of our communities past the 60s and 70s, like they got broken down into gangs, and some of them got broken down into churches and like, you know, smaller communities and stuff like that. But like when it comes to gangs, what do pundits and what do politicians think is going to happen when these gangs have to retreat back into themselves, and these kids that are growing up in these communities have to retreat back to the gangs to find a family?
Yeah,
like they're just growing that place. Like if you talk to all these accounts of gang members that like have gone straight, they're like, it's the only thing I had to do in the hood, you know?
Yeah. Damn. Which is why after school programs are literally the number one crutch to gang members. Like, that's it. You give
little shout out kids to Rahm Emanuel for ending them all in Chicago.
Yeah,
right?
Like you give kids something to do and they won't fuck each other up most of the time. Like literally, someone who had to like teach kids, like I had to like have like a set of like 12 or 24 kids a week that I had to take care of myself, and I did this for 2.5 years very consistently. Always a new group of kids every week. And I'm telling you, you give those kids some shit to do and they won't fuck each other up.
Dude, and that's a universal law. The same thing happened in Medellin. They started all these art programs after school in different areas.
Yeah.
Like they were ravaged by the quote unquote drug wars.
Yeah.
And the city fucking had this renaissance.
Yeah.
Not only of art, but like it's just so many things were happening culturally in the city.
Yeah, shout out to like nothing in Hollywood covering that aspect of it. They're
exactly.
Like, let's do another thing about Pablo Escobar.
Yeah.
But not mention the Ochoas. I mean, that's the family that works with this.
Why are you
well,
like this?
I don't know. But feel like maybe we should end it on a high note somehow.
Yeah.
Sure.
Let's what do you think?
Random topic. Cardi B.
Yeah.
I love Cardi B. Oh, my God. She's so funny.
But
I can't wait to see her. I'm gonna see her in April.
You know, it's like is she keeps like rising little things here and there, records she keeps breaking, and I'm like, oh, she's like holding out on this album. Like when it comes out, it's gonna be fuego.
Yeah.
And
when does it come out? Like next month?
No. I don't think there's any sort of.
Oh, I thought that was like a whole
time.
She just came out with a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, she came out with a bunch of singles with
singles and videos and stuff like that.
Yeah. Motorsport with
Nicki
and
Migos.
Yeah,
and she had that track with G-Eazy.
Yep.
Who can't listen to because he's a boring rapper. But I listen to her verse.
Listen to her verse. Her verse was good.
Yeah, but I guess that's one of the things to look forward to. Like,
yeah,
I really hope so, because listening to that song with Bruno Mars, I was like, fuck.
Oh, the finesse remix?
Yeah, dude,
I'm the biggest Bruno Mars stand.
I love him. The dude has been
the juice since 2012, and people were like, "Oh, he's just another pop artist." I'm like, "No."
Yeah, I thought so too. I was wrong. I was 100%.
I went
and
saw him
wrong.
At the MGM National Casino National whatever the Casino Theater over there in Maryland. And like, just imagine like being a hater or a doubter,
a showman
of 100%. Like living in the 80s and being like, oh, Michael Jackson's coming to town. You know what? I'm going to pass. Nah, bro. It's Bruno motherfucking Mars. Like,
he is a true entertainer.
He's an entertainer, man. He's super talented.
But that song with Cardi B was just so mediocre to me.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't like it.
It's because
it
it's not for us.
It's the new Jack Swing. It sounded like a 90s R&B, like,
no, I get it.
House party joint.
I completely get it. But it's just, I don't know, hearing what she's doing and hearing this mainstream adaptation of who she is, I was just, fuck. We lost her.
I know what you
mean.
Like,
she's gone.
She was just kind of like throwing in these kind of like lazy 8-part bars. Yeah, no, I felt that.
It's because she didn't come up with an alter ego like Nicki Minaj did to appease the white people.
Listen, this is still Cardi B we're talking about here. She's not going to change.
I really hope.
She's
from
the Bronx.
I really see. I really hope.
Did you
when
see
the
that
album
interview?
Comes out, it's like, boom.
Wait, you guys were talking about that, the interview with Jimmy Fallon this year?
Yes.
Oh, bullshit.
Okay. Get into it.
I don't hate Jimmy Fallon. He's just terrible at his job.
And that's exactly what
okay,
I said.
In that interview, I feel like it was more evident than ever, because he was like, yeah, you're just like so cool, and you're like on the scene right now, and like you have this music, it's great music, and he was just like
beating around the bush. When he closed the interview, we love you, dude. That's what he said to Cardi B.
I mean, he does that in like every interview. He does that in every interview, but I just felt like this was so bad, and I'm like, we need someone better talking to her.
He's not good.
He's the worst. She's so funny. Like, if you're a comedian, wouldn't
she have her own show?
Yeah. Wouldn't you, like, riff off of that? No, he didn't know what to do. Like, it's been a while.
And it was really awkward,
since he did sketch comedy,
I
guess.
He's had a lot of, like, interviews. I'm like, okay, fine, I'll watch it. And that wasn't terrible. But that was bad.
Yeah.
It was embarrassing. What,
anyways, we keep turning the attitude sour. It's that deep end, baby.
Anyway, shout out to Cardi B.
Yeah.
Belcalis Almanzar.
She's our new queen.
Yo, did the chairs just start floating in the room? No. I was like 12 syllables in 2 words. But for real, thank you guys so much. We've taken up so much time.
Yes,
talking to
really
you guys.
I feel like this could be another 3-4 hours. Dude, and we need to do this again. You guys need to come to Vegas.
Yeah.
You have a place to stay.
Yeah.
We're going to show you a different side of Vegas that hopefully will convince you that it's a good
CSI
place.
CSI side? No.
No.
Yeah, like, I hate you right now.
But I think this could be one out of many, many like future episodes, because there's just so much to talk about.
Yeah, definitely.
100%.
Awesome.
Scratching the surface. Well, thank you guys so much for having us.
Shout out to you guys.
No, thank you for having us.
I am the Deep in Puerto Rico. Do we want to plug ourselves?
Yeah, do it.
So if you guys would like to listen to more of us, you can listen to us on any place, literally anywhere. Just like search Caught Up and you'll find us. And,
on Facebook,
Twitter. On Facebook, it's facebook.com/caughtuppodcast. Twitter, it's twitter.com/caughtuppodcast. We're available anywhere that you can think of. We don't
Except
have an Instagram
for Spotify.
Yet. Oh, we don't have
Spotify.
We're going
to move to
like
Instagram
us.
Once we start getting more of that visual content out there.
Yeah,
I go to a lot of concerts. And
so you can just start recording.
You can follow me at the Deep End Puerto Rican on Instagram. And I pretty much every concert that I go to, I put up some stories. I put up posts on my Instagram. On my Twitter, I kind of do the same thing. I talk a lot on my Twitter. My Twitter handle is... Let me pull
it
up.
You can do it.
It's @G_the_DE. So Gabe the Deep End, pretty much. And I like to talk to you guys. It's not just me posting on there. I just want to engage with you guys, have a conversation.
If you want to follow me on Twitter, it's @H_Sensa. That's SENSA. I say some stupid shit sometimes.
And I post a lot of music stuff, so I'm always trying to get put people onto new music. So
I'm all about that. You know that.
We'll talk, bro.
We need to have a whole podcast
just
about festivals.
Yeah, these guys can go get high somewhere else and we'll just talk about music festivals.
Oh my gosh. I don't do drugs.
No. Drugs do you.
And, of course,
these guys are the real deal. Always talking about funny things.
Hilarious.
LatinosWhoLunch.com.
It's a different kind of funny.
It is.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I feel like I'm more relaxed when I'm listening to you guys. We're too angry.
You guys are very angry. Well, we're angry, but we hold it inside like good immigrants.
That's why we're here for each other.
It comes out.
Yeah, I'm trying to do this new thing. It's called expressing my emotions. So I'm
Don't do it, girl. I tried that. Listen, I tried that. It ruined a lot of things.
It's so hard because in our
gives
homes,
you cancer
growing up.
It's better to keep it in and just deal with the chemotherapy.
Yeah, but yeah. I see.
He's like, Mijo, what are you? Are you crying? Stop that right now.
I'm sorry.
I'll give you something to cry about.
I felt that joke through generations of patience, honestly.
That's funny. Oh my gosh. Well, it was a blast hanging out with
this
y'all.
This is awesome.
For sure.
This is so shout fun. Out again to Juan for letting us record over here.
Thanks for the pizza. Thanks for the beer. And we're back.
Así es. Dude, there's fantasmas over there.
What?
Are you seeing dead people right now?
Bitch, don't talk about ghosts right now. They can hear you. I'm in a fucking haunted museum and you're talking about ghosts right now? Please be shut up. Be quiet. I'm all by myself. And okay, thank you. Oh, well, thank you to the Caught Up Boys. That was awesome. I'm so glad we got to meet them. And if you don't know them, get to know them. They're a great podcast.
Yeah, it's a great source for anything political, DC, and the most refreshing voices out there in the Latinx/POC podcast world. Amazing stuff.
Okay. Now it's time for our show recommendations. You have any, Babalakis?
Yes, I actually have two, and I know I'm like a bad music journalist because I am not a music journalist, but I have two. First is an album that I've been obsessing over, and I cannot stop listening to it. And it came out in October, but again, it's my podcast. I don't give a shit. This is Kelela, and Kelela's been on the scene for a while. She is this badass R&B/... experimental musician, and she finally came out with a full album, and it's the title of the album is Take Me Apart. And it took me a while to get into it, but as the Neto way, I cannot stop listening to it. So that will be my recommendation for this week. And of course, the second season of One Day at a Time.
Awesome.
Oh my god, I'm so excited because we're going to get to talk about this in the future. So this is a good time for everybody to start watching. So by the time we get into it, then you know exactly what we're talking about. And if you already watch it, don't spoil it for us. Just go listen to Cabronas y Chingonas, who are already starting to talk about this show. So again, One Day at a Time on Netflix, season 2, and Take Me Apart by Kelela.
Awesome.
¿Y tú?
Well, my recommendation is a podcast that I thoroughly enjoyed today. It's called The Rundown of RuPaul's Drag Race. So this is a podcast done by our good friend Eric over at Stir Online, and it's a recap podcast. So if you don't know what that is, there's a lot of podcasts out there that just recap TV shows. And so this is Eric's version of that. It is so awesome. They go really in depth. And, you know, I mean, if you listen to the show, you know we're obsessed with RuPaul's Drag Race. All Stars 3 just came out. So after the episode, they do a recap. And it is so good. So it's called, again, The Rundown, RuPaul's Drag Race. It's on Stitcher. So it's on iTunes. It's all over the place. Yep. Go ahead.
I wanted to hate on this season.
Did you watch the latest episode?
Oh my god, dude. I am so hooked. It's like they chose the biggest personalities.
Yeah, totally.
And it's so good. And they're all so good. That lip sync for your life killed me. I was watching and I was screaming. It was so, so good.
Yep. I knew it. 2 seconds in, I was like,
See, these people, ya valió madre. Don't discount the comedy queens, the theater queens. They know how to perform, okay? Like, I don't care if you can do back splits and do helicopter and do a...
All you have to do is have, like, a lot of fucking pasties on 20 bras, and then you're, like, the best queen ever.
Yeah, but the...
And the La Creme, which we took pictures with. The first time we went to a fucking drag queen show, Fabi, Fab, and I, this was, like, 3-4 years ago. Ya ni me acuerdo. And we love you back then, and I fucking adore you after that episode.
All I see in that picture is your mustache. That's it. That's, I can't wait to post that picture online so everybody can see how glorious your mustache was at one point. And I keep telling you, you need to grow it back, but you don't listen to me. If you grow that mustache back, Cheech will see it and he'll be like, you remind me of a young me. And then finally he'll buy one of my art pieces and I'll be part of Cheech Marin's Chicano art collection. See, this mustache of yours could change the course of Chicano art history. You don't understand how important it is, but you won't grow it back because, bitch, you never listen to me.
Girl, because my mustache is orange. Like, why the fuck would I grow an orange mustache? No, thank you.
It's not orange. I never saw orange when I saw that mustache.
Look how orange you look. That's my mustache right there. It looks like Coco's face.
Okay, anyway. The audio is awful. We can't have people go through this anymore.
Pobrecito. Sorry, yeah. People.
Yeah.
It will change the future. Next week, we have an amazing, amazing episode. So stay tuned. Hashtag Radio Menea.
No. Oh, okay.
Yes. Yeah,
can
sure.
We just...
I mean, we're just giving them a clue. We're not going to tell them everything.
Oh, okay. But we already said it in the last episode.
Oh, shit.
Stupid.
Ay, ya, güey, estoy bien cansado.
Yeah, se te ve en la cara, güey. Yes. Okay. Stay tuned next week when we sit down with one of our best podcast buddies, Perez from Radio Menea and from the podcast Tonic. And as always, you can visit us at latinoswholunch.com. Email us, latinoswholunch@gmail.com. You can send us voice memos there, and we'll play them on the podcast. Listener letter episode is on its way. We're so excited. And if you have a chance, please go to iTunes, Apple Podcasts, the Purple app on your phone, and leave us a review. 5 stars.
5 stars only.
Because the more reviews we have, the more visible we are. And visibility is...
un abismo. Be careful.
We need to change that line if you don't believe in that anymore.
I don't believe in that anymore, but I'm having fun with it every week.
I'm Fabi Fav.
And I'm Babelito.
Bye.